You'd think that as a video game podcaster and comedian, my life is all fun and games. And honestly, you'd be right. About 90% of the time, it's pretty sweet. But every morning, I deal with something very, very serious. My face. You don't become an Edmonton Six overnight. It takes work. And in my case, it takes good facial hair. And fortunately, I have a great facial hair tag team partner in Harry's. Hit up harrys.com/RTG for a $3 trial set and see what I'm talking about. Harry saw the tire fire that the shaving market had become and asked, how did it get like this? Crappy plastic razors, overpriced blades, all locked up like gold bars. And they said, no, we can fix this. And damn it, they did. Harry's ships premium quality razors right to your door. About once a month, I check my mail and there's that little box with everything I need to keep my kid presentable status. The blades stay sharp longer, which means an easier time getting my face in order in the morning. And the razors don't look like a dumb piece of plastic that a junior high schooler uses to take care of their peach fuzz. You have the facial hair of a man now. Shave like one. I actually leave my razor handle on the bathroom counter all the time just because it looks so damn classy. Harry's blades are German engineered and they're made to last. They're the best blades on the market for the best price, and you don't even have to go out to get them. Set your delivery schedule and shave like a king. I know it sounds sarcastic, but I'm being serious. I've used Harry's forever. These blades are really freaking good. Highest reviews in the industry, a money back guarantee that you're not going to need, and a subscription that you can cancel anytime you want. Getting ripped off isn't funny. Switch to Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/RTG. That's harrys.com/RTG for a $3 trial set. Remember the Game is brought to you by my website, abcomedy.net. As you may or may not know, I'm a comedian by night. And as much as I love talking about old video games, telling jokes is how I actually pay my bills. So please check out my website. In addition to old episodes of this podcast, you'll find my blog, videos of my stand-up, all of my upcoming shows, and my contact information. If you need a comedian for your next fundraiser, corporate event, house party, whatever you got going on, hit me up. Again, it's abcomedy.net. And if you're enjoying the podcast, please subscribe to it. Please leave us a good review. And most importantly, please tell a friend. I'd really appreciate it. There'll be a new episode every single Wednesday. Thank you guys so much for the support. I hope you enjoy the show.
After 10,000 years, I'm free. It's time to conquer Earth.
Alpha, readers escape. Recruit a team of teenagers with attitudes.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Remember the Game, my retro gaming podcast, where every single week a buddy of mine and I sit down and geek out about video games from back in the day. My name is Adam Blank. Thank you so much for listening to this crappy amateur retro gaming podcast. This week, I'm pumped, man. Episode 48, we are talking Mighty Morphin Power Rangers for the Super Nintendo and later every other system from the day. And listen, I might have fucked up a little bit with the hint this week, because I always like to post a hint on Tuesday on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook and stuff, which, by the way, you should follow us on Instagram and Twitter. You can find us at Member the Game, just like Remember, but without the RE. And we're on Facebook at facebook.com/Remember the Game. And we're on YouTube now at youtube.com/Remember the Game. Please subscribe there. That was a nice little plug. But I always post a hint on Tuesday, and some weeks it's pretty obvious, some weeks it's less, so I don't try to make them the most intuitive hints of all time. Usually it's just something from the game. But this week, the hint I posted was Jason, the original Red Ranger's power coin, the Tyrannosaurus Rex coin. And obviously everyone knew right away that it was Power Rangers. I got a great reaction to this hint, but a lot of people were like, I hope it's the movie game. And I was like, oh boy, I'm going to rip all their hearts out, because this is the vastly inferior at least to my understanding. I never played the movie game, but I did play this one a lot, and it's not very good. But that's what we're talking this week, is the original Mighty Morphin Power Rangers for the Super Nintendo. But before we get into that, you guys know... and we just kind of talk a little bit of Power Rangers this week too, admittedly. Not too far. We try to stick to the game. But I was like, I don't know if I'm ever going to get a chance to talk Power Rangers on a podcast again. And goddamn, man, in the mid-90s, I fucking loved the Power Rangers. We all did, didn't we? At least for a little while. They were like cooler than the Turtles. At least they were for me. And I'm a Turtles like diehard. But Power Rangers were pretty dope. So this was a fun episode for me. Very nostalgic. I got to listen to the Power Rangers theme song a little bit, which is fucking awesome. And I hope you guys enjoy it as well as I do. If you do enjoy it, or if you've enjoyed any episode we've ever done, please leave us a good review on iTunes or wherever it is you leave reviews. I don't know what they accomplish, but I know I'm supposed to ask for them. I do every week. I read them on here. If you leave me one, please do it. If you've left a review on somewhere other than iTunes, like Spotify or something, I'm sorry I haven't read it on here. I don't know how to read them. But if you send me a screenshot of whatever review you've posted somewhere else, I will read it on the show. I just don't know where to get them. So good reviews, please. Even if you think the show sucks, still leave us 5 stars, but then put in the comments, I only did it because the guy begged me. The show actually sucks. I'm fine with that too. You guys know I got to ramble for a few more minutes before we get into Power Ranger talk. Things are good. I have to go off topic as far as video games go for just 2 seconds. I'm sorry. You guys can fast forward about 45 seconds if you want to. But I just posted my summer comedy schedule on my website that I plug off the top of the show, which is abcomedy.net. And I don't talk about my comedy on here too often, I don't think, but I have a lot of great shows coming up over the next 3 or 4 months, all on the road across Canada. I'm sorry if you're not in Canada. I don't have a work visa to go anywhere else, and I don't make enough money to go anywhere else. But if you're in Canada and you live in Saskatoon, Red Deer, Lethbridge, Medicine Hat, Calgary, Toronto, Ottawa, Kingston, Dawson Creek, BC, Cold Lake, or... Grand Prairie, Alberta. Please check out my website, abcomedy.net. Tickets are on sale now for shows all across all of those great cities. Plus, I'm always here in Edmonton. And it would, like, I can't even express how cool it would feel to run into even one person I don't know who's like, hey, I listened to your podcast. That would be like the coolest thing ever for me. I will shake your hand. I will hug you if you're into that stuff. So please, if you're in any of those cities, check us out. Again, abcomedy.net has all my upcoming shows. Enough comedy talk. I'll get back to video games now. My first Let's Play is completely edited and ready. The first video game, not the first episode, but the first series. It's about 2 weeks long, I think, like 14 episodes. It's the first game. I've decided officially the series will be called Adam Sucks at Video Games. I originally started calling them Remember the Game Retro Let's Plays, and then realized that I suck at games when I try to play and talk into the mic at the same time. So Adam Sucks at Video Games is the title. It will be launching on June 12th. On YouTube, along, I've got my first review almost locked and loaded as well, and those will both be launching on the YouTube channel around June 12th, which will be episode 50 of the show. So again, if you haven't subscribed, youtube.com/rememberthegame. Good stuff is coming, I promise. I have a couple other ideas I want to get up on there as well. And listen, I just wanted to put this out there now. I can't remember if I've officially talked about it. I know I've hinted at it. I will be launching a Patreon next month, probably right around episode 50 as well. And listen, I want to get this out there right now. I know there's a ton of podcasts out there with a ton of Patreons. You guys are under zero obligation to sign up for it, okay? Your weekly podcast is not changing at all. There's going to be an episode every single Wednesday until I run out of video games to talk about. And there's no advertising on the podcast other than my garbage, and that's never going to change. I was offered a chance to put advertising on the show. I turned it down because I just want this to be my project and my thing. And I really mean this when I say it. I don't just want it to be my thing. I want it to be our thing. More and more of you have been interacting with me on our social media, which I am really, really grateful for. I'm really just trying to build a community where even if you don't come on and play video games all the time, we just sit back and talk about video games and stuff like that. And so I don't want any advertisers coming into the podcast and potentially changing anything. So it is just going to be me. So we are launching a Patreon in a couple weeks. You're under zero obligation. But listen, I am going to have some rewards for it. The Patreon is going to start at $2 a month. With that, you're going to get some extras. You're going to get a few things. You'll find out when I launch it in a couple of weeks. But my big, the biggest part of it is I plan on giving 20% of everything I raise in the Patreon back to one of the Patreon subscribers every month. So your $2 a month is going to get you an entry into that draw. And then I may add like a $5 tier that'll get you 3 or 4 entries, much like buying a 50-50 ticket at a hockey game or wherever you live, whatever sporting events you go to. And I'll be giving back 20% of it at the end of every month to one person that I draw, and it'll be in the form of a digital gift card that you can use on your Switch, Xbox, PS4, Steam, whatever console, I guess iTunes or whatever you want. You know, I'll send you a gift card for it or a digital code or whatever. I'm still looking through all the logistics of how to send one to somebody out of Canada, but I think I have it figured out. And listen, if you're like 20%, not that much. I guarantee you 99% of Patreon subscribers don't give anything back. Plus they take a ton of fees off the top. So my hope is that by the time I give you guys back your kickback and pay all the fees, I get 50% of that money. And I'm not looking to get rich from it or make a living off it. I'm not going to go out and blow your money on strippers and blow. That's what my comedy money is for. It's primarily just to upgrade the equipment for the show. Okay. Right now I'm trying to do everything on an old MacBook that I'm also trying to capture gameplay footage off of, and it doesn't run my capture card well. I have to flip it to Windows to do. So I would love to just pick up a, even if it's just a cheap Mac laptop that's not a Mac that I could use for the capturing stuff. And just to sink some time and money back into the show. I'm putting a ton of hours into this thing now. I'm probably putting 30 or 40 hours a week right now into editing and stuff. In addition to, I know you're probably thinking comedians don't work, but like I have to write material. I do a ton of emailing, trying to book in my own shows. I'm on the road. I'm not looking for pity. I know you guys have day jobs. I had one too. I'm so grateful that anyone listens to this. Okay. I'm just hoping that the podcast can be some self-sustaining. And the goal is to hit, if we hit $50 a month, then I can give a $10 gift card back every month. That's where I'm hoping to get this thing to. And if it gets to, and I'm just talking out of my ass, if it gets to $500 a month, then someone's winning $100 a month worth of gift cards and stuff like that. I'd like to give away a Sega Genesis Mini when they launch in September, but I just don't have the additional cash to buy it up front. And so if we can get the Patreon going, I'm going to give as much of it back to you guys as I possibly can, okay? So it is coming. I just wanted to put it out there so I don't snowball anybody with it. I don't know if that's the right term, but whatever. And again, you're under zero obligation to, all right? If you just want to listen to the show for free every Wednesday, that's fucking awesome. It's going to keep coming and you can keep listening to it. All right. More on that in a couple weeks when we hit episode 50. Not right now. Speaking of episode 50, we have recorded a ton of episodes over the last week or two. I'm on the road a lot this summer, so I'm trying to get ahead, get as many in the bank as I can. And you guys, I'm telling you, we have games from the NES, SNES, Nintendo 64, Sega Genesis, PS1, PS2, GameCube. We've even got our first arcade machine, arcade game coming up on the show here in the next few months. It's been so much fun. Massive thank you to all of the guys that have made their way up here to talk video games with me. You guys are the best. I really do appreciate it. If you've never been to my house, I do live in Edmonton. It's a pretty big city, but I'm kind of a pain in the ass to get to. I live up in a far end of town, and it's not like I live right downtown where everybody, it's easy for people to get to. And people have been taking time out of their days, sometimes out of their weekends, to come over and just record these podcasts with me completely for free. I can't afford to pay anybody. They're just doing it because they like talking video games with me, I think. So you guys, thank you for coming up, really. And guys, we have some cool episodes coming up. I also picked up a GameCube this week too. I'm not gonna lie to you guys, I'm not a huge collector. I used to collect years ago, I got out of it. As I've said on here many times, the majority of my gaming happens on my classic consoles or a virtual console or compilation packages on the Switch, things like that. But I've been jonesing to play a lot of GameCube lately. There's games like Thousand Year Door, Double Dash is one of my favorites, the Mario Sports games, Mario Sunshine. Just a bunch of games on the GameCube that just aren't available anywhere, and I really want to play them. And I won't lie to you guys, I figure there's like a small chance that Nintendo comes out at E3 in 2 weeks and fucking puts all these games on the Switch, but probably not because Nintendo likes to fuck us around with their classic games. So I did buy one. I got it cheap. I got it used. I don't have any games for it yet. I just bought it. That's it. That's all I'm spending on it this month. I have too much to play already, but my hope is now over the next year or so, just pick up the odd game when I see one cheap on Kijiji or something like that and start doing that. And then hopefully I can use it for some Let's Play series and stuff like that as well. So But like I said, I have too much to play right now as it is. What am I playing? Primarily Resident Evil 4. If you follow me on Instagram, I've been posting about it. Same as on Twitter and stuff. I love this fucking game. I haven't played it in forever, since the GameCube release of it. So it's been on Switch. It has taken over my life. I'm staying up to like midnight, 1 a.m. after I get home from my comedy shows at night, just playing Resident Evil 4. Expect an episode to come on that sometime this summer. I know another guy that's a guest on the show is playing through it right now as well, kind of refreshing his mind, and then we're going to come on and get a podcast done about it. I fucking love that game. I'm also playing SteamWorld Heist when I need a break from Resident Evil, or if I want something to play while I'm, you know, trying to watch TV with my girlfriend or something. The SteamWorld Heist has been a great game, tactical shooter, 2D. I think I talked about it last week, so I won't go into too great a detail. But if you've never played any of the SteamWorld games, I highly recommend them. They're top quality, they're cheap, and they're awesome. But enough about what I am playing. Let's talk about what I have played in the past. And that's why this week, that's a nice segue. This week, we are talking Mighty Morphin Power Rangers for the Super Nintendo Entertainment System and later everything else with apparently better versions. But that doesn't matter. We're talking the Super Nintendo one. This game released on November 23rd, 1994 here in North America. I was 11 years old when this game came out, and I fucking loved the Power Rangers, at least for a time. They didn't have the staying power that the Ninja Turtles did. As I record this intro, I'm sitting here in a Ninja Turtles t-shirt. If you've never met me or seen me, I have a Ninja Turtles tattoo sleeve on my left arm. I fucking love them. But at least for a short time, man, the Power Rangers were the thing to go. Like, they were the top shelf. They were awesome. I had the toys. We all had the toys. We all watched the show. We played the games. Good stuff. This is a very nostalgic episode. The music, talking about the show, talking about the series, talking about the video game. We're just talking Power Rangers. I'm going to cue the music right now. My guest this week is my buddy Andre, returning to the show. He's been on here many times. He is a gamer like me. He's a wrestling nerd like me. He's a Power Rangers super fan. And we had a fucking hell of a time talking about Mighty Morphin Power Rangers for the Super Nintendo and just life with the Power Rangers in the mid-90s. I hope you guys enjoy this show as much as me. It's podcasting time, baby. Let's go.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Podcasting's a weird job because I talk to you nerds all the time. Every day, I tell you all about my life, the good and the bad. The ugly, I kind of keep that offline. And it's not that I don't want to talk about it. I'd love to talk about it. I just need to pick and choose who I talk to. We all have stuff that just lives in our minds, rent-free, 24/7. Talking about them can really help, because the longer you keep something bottled up, the more likely it is to blow. You've heard me say it before, and you're going to keep hearing me say it. Therapy is the way. Therapists can be that ear to bend when you really need to get something off your chest and don't know who to talk to. And BetterHelp is a great way to go about it. I don't BS you guys. I don't say I've used something if I've never used it. I've personally talked to a BetterHelp therapist about the stuff going on in my personal life, and I genuinely found it helpful. To have someone to talk to that doesn't have any skin in the game, that can just listen and try to help me come up with a roadmap to get through the tough times, it's just invaluable. It has seriously really helped me. I've talked to my therapist through video, and you can do it that way, or you can do it over the phone, or even just over chat. And they give you as many schedule options as possible so you can work a session in around your life. It's licensed therapy, as convenient as it gets. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/rememberthegame today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/rememberthegame.
So this episode is going to be, it's not going to be different than the other ones. We're talking about an old video game. We're going to get nostalgic. But I'm telling you right now, I try not to bleed too hard into the other mainstream things that franchises do when we talk about something like this. I have no doubt we're going to go into it a little bit this time because I have zero doubt in my mind that I'm never going to get a chance to talk Power Rangers on this show again because I'm not talking about any of the other games.
No.
My pal Andre is back. Andre, how are you, my friend?
I'm glad to be here. And like... to be talking about Power Rangers, just epic for me.
That's right. And guys, like, I guarantee you, anyone listening to this, like, I fucking have no doubt I played the theme song off the top of the show. I haven't actually edited the intro yet, but I guarantee you I played that theme song. And if you're listening to this, this podcast is all about nostalgia. It's all about growing up in the 90s. It's all about what life was like before responsibility. And when I think of, like, this era, I think of the Ninja Turtles.
Yep.
And I think of fucking Power Rangers, man. Yep. There was a point where, and I'm not, and for anyone that doesn't know, I won't speak on behalf of Andre, but if anyone that doesn't know me very well, like, I have a full sleeve on my left arm of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I have Ninja Turtles stuff hanging all over my office. Like, I love the Ninja Turtles, but there was a phase in the mid 90s where the Power Rangers surpassed the Ninja Turtles for me, at least for a while, where I was like, these guys are the fucking boss.
Like, I have, at home, I have Ninja Turtle figures, I have Power Ranger figures, I have Power Rangers shot glasses, Power Rangers glass, I have Turtles, a bunch of other Turtle stuff. Like, those were the two for me.
Totally.
And Ghostbusters, I have a bit of Ghostbusters stuff too. But Turtles and Power Rangers are probably the two that hit me the hardest and the most. Because I still follow Power Rangers to this day.
Okay.
Like, it's a show that I never got off of. Like, I still watch the iterations now.
Oh, okay.
And I'm a Rangers fan. Like, and I literally, the last Comic-Con, I went and met the original Pink Ranger.
Oh, Kimberly? So, yeah. Oh, shit. That's
sick.
She's
awesome.
Okay, because, like, that's what I was going to say. Is, like, I won't lie to you. Like, it was after the first couple seasons when Jason, Zach,
and Trini,
left the cast. Right? Yeah. They brought in Trini. I stopped watching that. Like, that was as far as I went.
I was diehard for up the last few seasons. I haven't watched, but pretty diehard up until the last few years.
Like, so it obviously has a cult following to this day.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, when it first came to North America in, I don't even know when, the mid-90s.
93?
It was fucking huge.
I think it was 93 they started up over here.
Like, the theme song is incredible. I had all the action figures, the same as you. I remember my buddy Rob had the Morphin pack, like, the whatever you want to call it.
Oh, the actual Morpher?
The Morpher with the coin, and you could, like, interchange the coins, and we all would just take turns playing with it, like, at recess and stuff. But that was the coolest thing. We are going to talk the video game, guys, I promise, but...
There's nostalgia in
this. Yeah. So, my brother and I are... I have a little brother. He's 3 years younger than me. He's actually one of, like, my best friends, yeah. When we were kids, we used to get a ton of... Because our birthdays are a day apart, and they're a month before Christmas. And so, all our family lives across the country. So, they would always just send us gift certificates, usually for, like, Toys R Us and stuff like that. And we'd save them up and go. And I remember one year, I don't remember what my brother wanted to buy, but I convinced him to pool his money with me to buy the Megazord action figure, which was the five Zords you could play with separately, and then you could transform them all into the Megazord. It was a really badass action figure.
Oh, I never had the full Megazord, but I had, like, a couple of them. Mm-hmm. I my parents always bought me each one separately.
Right.
I don't think I ever got the full Megazord.
I convinced them to buy them with me. And my mom, I remember my mom giving me shit, being like, let him buy what he wants. And I was like, this is what he wants. And Josh was like, yeah, I think it is. And then the halftime, I wouldn't let him play with it and stuff like that.
I could see that 100%.
But dude, it was the coolest. Like, the Megazord is badass. Zords look badass. The Power Rangers looked cool. I get that in a way, I'm not saying they were, but in a way they were kind of like a humanized Ninja Turtles. But they were
superheroes.
They were awesome. Like, the show was so much fun to watch. That music would just get you so fired up. And every show was the exact same. Okay, and we'll get, that's how we're going to transition into the video game. We can go back to the show later. Every show, I mean, minus a couple of, like, arcs, like the Green Ranger and stuff
like that. Yeah, like, whenever there was an arc, it was different.
Other than that, it was the same old formula. They'd have some little problem at school. And then, oh, fuck, what was her name? The queen, the bad guy.
Rita.
I was going to say Repulsa. Yeah. Rita Repulsa. Yeah. So then she would fucking send, like, she would create some new creature and send them to Earth. And they would fight putties. And then they would morph. And then they would fight more putties. And they would fight that creature. And then Rita would grow the creature. And then they would call the Zords. Not even use them. Just instantly transform into Megazord most of the time.
There was odd times where you'd, like, get, like, an episode where Jason's... It was never anybody else fighting the monster. It was always Jason and his Tyrannosaurus fighting the monster. And then they'd all come together, go into, like, tank mode.
Yeah.
Which is the coolest mode
to me.
And then they'd shoot him a bit. And usually he wouldn't do anything, so they have to transform to Megazord, and then they have to kill him.
Yeah, and then he would kill him, and the music would play, and then they would go back to being teenagers, resolve
and
the
then
problem.
And then by the end, solved their issue at school.
Every time, every episode, and we'd still watch it. And honestly, guys, like before we started recording, Andre and I we were just talking about how some episodes of this podcast are longer than others because some games have more depth to them than others. Yeah. And I was like, we might be able to wrap this game up in about 3 minutes. So that's why we're talking some Power Rangers too.
Because this game runs like an episode.
Dude, it is.
A couple episodes mashed together real quick.
So basically, because I actually would believe there are people that never played this growing up but love Power Rangers, and that's why they're listening. It's basically a side-scrolling beat-em-up, as there were so many of those games were back then.
And for me, like, I never owned the SNES version. I played it with my friends. I owned the Sega version, which was just the fighting game.
Oh, really?
Because there's multiple versions of this game.
Right.
And I know on SNES, they eventually released the fighting version, which was, I think, a year or two later, because it has Lord Zedd in it and stuff.
Oh, okay.
But that's the version I got on Amiga Genesis. But I've played this game, like, as soon as I got a hold of an emulator, I played it. And I played this back in the day with friends.
Right.
But, like, I've played the shit out of this over the years, just playing it through. And it's the most repetitive game. I swear to God, it's the most repetitive game in the world I've ever played in my life.
It is. Like, okay, so my brother and I owned it growing up.
Yeah.
And I beat it. I remember beating it, like, the day we got it. It's not a hard game at all.
No.
But basically what it is, it's a side-scrolling beat-em-up. And there's really, I don't remember there even really being much of a story. It was literally, so the first five levels, you pick a Power Ranger and you run from left to right, beating up putties.
Yep.
And then you end up morphing halfway through the level. And then at the end of the level.
Yeah, like the boss would show up, appear.
Yeah.
He'd be like, oh, I'm scared, morph. Yeah. Then it made the putties that much easier because you get your friggin' weapon at it.
Right. Yeah.
Ugh.
And then at the end you would fight the boss. And the bosses looked cool, but you would fight the boss and then that was the end of the level. And then you'd go again. And it was like, so I mean, when you think of beat 'em ups in particular on the Super Nintendo, everybody, and I don't care who you are, the one that pops to mind is Turtles in Time, which is not only the best beat 'em up on the Super Nintendo, for my money, it's probably the best beat 'em up ever made.
Oh yeah.
It's
a tough game, but
it's great though. It's great. Yeah. And this game, like, even like when I think of like, I mean, cause I never played a ton of them, but like, I love the Ninja Turtle games. I remember Maximum Carnage on the Super Nintendo being badass.
So good.
This game was like, it was such a watered down version of that. You ran from left to right, but there wasn't even any depth to the screen. You couldn't go back and forward. Like, remember, like on Turtles in Time, at least you could like go up to like if you're on the street, you could go up to like against the buildings, or you could come toward the screen and be more toward the street.
You couldn't go up and down. Like, I know there was levels where you could jump onto other level, like up
like platform
level 2 and 3.
Yeah, yeah.
Level but two was, for sure, there was different no levels you could, but you couldn't go like you couldn't move across the street.
Yeah.
It was one singular line across the street.
So there's no depth to it. The putties were all like just generic putties. They were easy to kill.
I do like the fact that they did go with multiple versions of the putties, because I know there was like the gray ones that like one hit, they're done.
Right.
Then there was the purple ones you had to knock down like 2 or 3 times. There was like,
right. Yeah, yeah.
The green
right.
ones, once you morphed, they were one hitters at that point. Right. And then there was these brown ones that took forever to destroy them.
Yeah, but no real depth to them.
No.
At all.
And it was literally like because this is a 7-level game.
Yeah.
The first 5 levels is literally putties all the way with some laser cannons or something every now and again you have to blow up. And then the boss.
Yeah, it's so generic. And here's another criticism I have of it is like, so you get to pick, it's almost cool. Because one of my favorite things about like these style of games, like the Turtles games, this game, is being able to pick from the different Rangers or the different Turtles, right? And so in this one, it's cool because you get to pick a different Ranger and you get to pick him at every level.
And literally, you have 5 levels.
Yeah.
You can literally play all 5 across.
That's what I would always do is I'd pick a different Ranger for each level. And it's cool in a way. They all handle like literally identical.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
but
if you look at them, they're all exactly the same outside of their color. And well, their helmets are designed differently,
right?
But literally, the body sprites for Kimberly and Trini look exactly the same as Zach, Jason, and Billy.
Yeah, I had wrote that down. So like, literally, like once they, so they like, and I'll talk about it in a second. They actually look a little different when they're out of their clothes or out of the Ranger outfits, like when they're in street clothes.
Kim looks short comparatively, and all this other stuff. Yeah,
but once they morph, it literally is one generic like buff body, and like, and Trini and Kimberly look exactly the same. And like, I don't remember. I think Trini did. I know Kimberly. Like a little skirt
Kimmy,
on her outfit on the
skirt,
show.
Yes.
But no, on this game, because
Trini didn't, because the original series it was a guy. The
right, that's
was
right.
A guy.
But when you watch, like in this game, once they morph, it literally is 5 different palette swaps of the Red Ranger.
Yeah.
The only difference is that they each get their weapon that they had in the show.
Yeah.
But the weapons handle exactly the same.
If you hit a certain button combination for Kimberly, she does fire the bow.
Right. But for the most part,
which is the only difference, and I think Billy can spin his
Yeah, he could spin
his trident or whatever the heck it was. Yeah, he could spin it. That was literally it.
Yeah, for the most part, like Kimberly runs through the game swinging the bow like the exact same way as Jason
like
swings
sword,
his sword.
Yeah.
If you like literally
like, Trini, I find the worst because her weapon is so short.
Yeah,
so you're getting stabbed constantly by everybody else as you're trying to stab them.
She's the Raphael of the Power Rangers. She sucks. yeah, take that, Turtle fans. I hate Raph.
Jeez.
So once they morph, it's useless. The only cool thing about when they morph is you get to see them do the thing, and you get to see their morpher.
Yeah.
And then you get like a super bomb or something it's called.
Yeah, they're all
summon on
relatively
like your,
the same, but there's differences.
Yeah, little things, which is kind of neat. I mean, you almost always just save it for the boss and then hit the boss.
Because literally,
it.
I think, literally, Kim's is the weirdest. It's literally just pink crystals flying across the screen.
Yeah.
Where Billy was ice storm. Zach was boulders. Trini was lightning, and then Jason was fire.
Right.
So at least those four had something that could, like an ice storm or
yeah.
But just pink crystals.
Yeah, the alternative would have been like love, and then you would have been like the shitty kid from Captain Planet.
That would have been amazing if she was the love character.
So,
if you're hearing this, you're probably a gamer, and for our kind, nothing is as precious and valuable as our save files. Have you ever experienced the loss of a save file? It's soul-crushing. Dozens, maybe hundreds of hours of work gone, like that. But at the end of the day, it's a video game. It matters, but kinda, you know? That exact scenario, but with a work project, an essay for school, data for your business, that's no joke. That can be really serious. You need a safety net. And I got you, fam, with my partners over at CrashPlan. Visit CrashPlan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. CrashPlan has been protecting people's data since 2001. And a couple years ago, they set out on their own with one mission, to provide the best damn cloud backup solution on the market. CrashPlan runs quietly in the background of your computer or Mac, and every 15 minutes on the clock, they create a new backup of every file that's changed in that time. So if something goes wrong, God forbid, you don't lose hours, lose days, lose weeks of work. Just log into your account and you can download your most recent backup from the secure cloud servers. And there's not just one backup. There's a laundry list of them. You can pick and choose which one you want. It's like the ultimate undo button. If you work on a computer in any capacity, CrashPlan is a must-have. And if you're thinking, that's for big businesses, I'm just Joe Schmo. CrashPlan protects Joe Schmo. They offer a ton of plans and tiers. So there's a CrashPlan for everyone, from small one-person businesses like me to you fancy businesses and offices with staff and free donuts and all that stuff. Time is money. Why wouldn't you protect your work? Spreadsheets, diagrams, videos, art, podcasts. CrashPlan has you covered. Don't let data disasters slow you down. CrashPlan has your back and keeps you moving. Go to CrashPlan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. That's CrashPlan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year. Back up better with CrashPlan.
So, but the first half of the game, you fight as them as teenagers. And I actually prefer that part because at least they have a little bit of personality, right? Like Zach does, I think, and I'm 90% sure, he used to call it hip hop keto in the show. And he would do like dancing with his karate.
And when you crouch down, you do kicks, like you kick out.
Yeah.
Zach's was like really low and it looked like he was like doing like a slide. Yeah. It looked really cool.
He was the coolest of the five out of their outfit in that game.
Oh, heck yeah.
And then like Jason, Kimberly, and Trini all fought pretty similar. They just did their karate
and
beat
Billy
people up.
Looks,
and then
bad.
Billy was a chicken shit, right? Yeah. Which I adored, like honestly, and I put it right here in my notes. My single favorite thing about this game is that they captured Billy as the nerd. Because is he your favorite? He's my favorite Power Ranger,
no.
Other than the green one. He's my favorite Power Ranger.
Green easily, but then Jason right behind the green for me. Playing this game, my favorite one to play through was with Zach.
Because he's
the
coolest.
Yeah, he is obviously the coolest.
Like my favorite Power Ranger growing up was Billy because he's the Donatello of the Power Rangers.
Yeah,
right? He's the brains. And if you never did watch Power Rangers by some chance, and you're listening to this podcast, which I can't remember, we all know that at least at the start of the show, Billy was a chicken shit. Like once he morphed, then he turned into a badass. But until he morphed, he didn't know how to fight. He was scared.
Literally, I've gone back and watched it. There's an episode where he's scared to climb a cliff.
Right.
And he's like, as he got up there, he's like freaking out but he has to get up there to save Trini.
Right.
They captured it in this game.
Like, yeah, and in this game, like he runs through the game like. and he like covers his head and throws these like chicken shit punches and stuff. Yeah, but then once he like, morphs, then he's a badass.
Yeah, yeah.
So I it's funny because like you would think the coolest aspect of the game would be to play as the Power Rangers, but to me the funnest part of the first five levels where you're just running left to right beating people up is playing as the kids.
It makes it more challenging too because you don't have your weapons.
Yeah.
Because with once you get when like except for Trini because it just annoyed me, like for Billy, Kimberly, Zach, and Jason. Because the axe was longer, the bow was longer, the trident was longer, the sword was longer. You got a little more reach. You could stand back slightly and attack them.
Right.
And you less likely to get stabbed. But right. And literally, for some reason, putties had knives.
Yeah.
I didn't understand that. Like, I watched Power Rangers for like since I was a kid, and I've never seen a putty patroller with a knife.
They're more useless than foot soldiers.
And literally, there's one of the levels, a putty patroller has a gun.
Yeah, yeah.
I've never seen a putty patroller hold a gun either.
But, like, to be fair, like, there were...
It
like,
is a video game.
Right,
I get
and
that.
In the Turtles games, like, I don't remember the foot soldiers ever coming up and throwing bombs. You know, like literally black circular bombs. But in the games they did.
It's just weird to have a putty patroller. Just to me, yeah. Like, the hardcore fan that I am, it's hard to see a putty patroller with a knife.
Yeah, like, they obviously had to do something to just try to change it up a little bit.
Yeah.
But it didn't work.
And, like, there's only one level where, like, I think two putty patrollers have a gun because they're... You have to like dodge by them as you're climbing up you're running an elevator. As right. I watched a long play before I came before this because I needed to refresh.
Fuck,
refresh.
That would be a long video.
Well, I skipped a bunch of it because it's very repetitive. But like, there's literally one where you're riding an elevator and you're dodging stuff on the elevator. Then it stops and you have to climb up the rest of the way. And like, you're dodging putty patrollers shooting you.
Right.
And it just seemed very out of place.
It just like... I mean, Turtles in Time, I'm 99% sure Turtles in Time came out before this game, but I might be wrong.
Well, this has been 95?
Either way, like, there were beat-em-ups. Like, it's like the beat-em-up formula had been figured out, even back to the NES with Double Dragon, Battletoads, with the Turtles games.
Yeah.
Beat-em-ups were done, and people knew how to make a decent beat. She always does that. My dog's like army crawling across the floor.
I'd never seen it.
There were always beat-em-up games, and for some reason, it's like this one, like, they could have made this. They, like... I know they couldn't do it because they didn't own the game, but like, they could have just taken Turtles in Time and just palette swapped everything out and made the exact same style of game, and people would have enjoyed it substantially more. They really just, they got the Power Rangers IP. Power Rangers was hot as fuck. Let's churn out the quickest game we can.
And even though it was like, cause they'd go on to make, I think there was like the movie game, which came out a year later.
Yeah.
That there was a fighting mode game. There's when Zio came out, they put out a Battle Racers game.
Right.
But like, this is the most, like, I've watched some video on the other stuff. This is the most basic version of any of the games. Like, it's
so basic. Yeah. It's just boring.
And like, it's not like it's boring, but it's still fun. Like, cause if you're a Power Rangers fan, it was, I know I loved it back in the day.
Oh yeah.
It's just because you're obsessed with the game. You're obsessed with the IP.
And a couple of things I will give it, before I go back to shitting on it is, it doesn't, like, outside of the shitty palette swap for the Power Rangers when they morph, the graphics aren't terrible. Like, the in their street clothes, they look cool. I really do think that the bosses look cool.
Yeah, like, I got issues with the bosses.
and they do a decent job with the music. Like, yeah. The music is actually, albeit repetitive, the music is actually kind of cool. And they get the Power Rangers theme in there and stuff.
Yeah.
And that theme is fucking awesome.
It's the best theme, probably one of my favorite themes ever.
Yeah, so, like, there are aspects of it that are cool. But at the end of the day, like, outside of loving the Power Rangers, there was no reason to play it because there were so many better beat-em-ups on the system.
Oh, very much.
Unless
so.
You wanted to play as the Power Rangers.
And then you're talking about the bosses. Like, it's very... The boss fights are somewhat repetitive, except for a couple.
I remember the Golden Skeleton.
That was Bones. He's the first one.
Right.
And all he does is jump away from you, and then he has this... like sweeping slash that sends like a beam of energy out, and it's all you do is jump,
right?
And you dodge it, and all he does is jump away from you, and then he eventually you break him apart. He loses his arms, and then he just Then all he does is hop away from you. He doesn't actually attack you.
Yeah, that's
right. He just hops. Then you break him apart again. And then he's a head. And then he's got just a head floating around, which, to their credit, happened on the show. I'm pretty sure he was a floating head at one point.
And then there was like an eyeball cloud.
The eyeball guy was the third guy, and like, you beat him up, he just shot lasers out of his eyes, and then he would just like rain, like, he'd shoot eyeballs out at you.
Yeah.
And then there was the second level was I literally wrote them down. Gnarly Gnome. He would teleport around and he had a rake.
Oh, that's right. The rake.
Yeah,
that's right. He fought you with a rake. But you're supposed to be these like all powerful beings.
Yeah, and then
but he's got a rake.
The fourth level,
like Sideshow Bob.
He's a genie. Is literally his name is called Genie. He looks like a genie, and he's called, like, I checked these out online. I went and looked up the bosses because I'm like, I need to remember who these guys are. Mm-hmm. His name is Genie, and all he did was he never attacked you. He would either fireballs would drop from the roof or these look like electrical laser things would shoot out from the sides.
Oh wow!
It was a very and it was very easy to dodge. Like I went along with the wall play. The guys just like walk, move, move, jump, jump, jump.
Right,
and
right.
You move it, and then the fifth one was the Dark Warrior.
Right,
and all he was literally a back and forth fight throughout that one because right. He was just coming at you trying to hack you.
So I just like literally as you were explaining it just got me thinking. I don't know if it was bad design that makes it so easy and repetitive, or if it was. The only people that are going to be interested in playing this game are going to be little kids that love Power Rangers. Why do we make a game that's accessible to them to play?
I think it's the latter. I think probably it's the fact that at that point, like you maybe had the people who for some reason somehow got a hold of Sentai.
Yeah.
Maybe, but at that point, like adults weren't not many like I'm not saying no adults were watching it at that point, but right. Not many adults are watching Power Rangers 93. No.
And if you
now it's different now because yeah. We grew up on the series, we still watch it.
Right.
But the fact is it was a series made for kids. So these people going, let's make this game for kids.
Right. And if they make it too hard, then you get parents complaining that like, I bought this game for my kids and he can't beat it because he sucks.
He can't get through level one. It's yeah. Like, yeah.
Okay, so that's the first five levels. There's some good, there's some bad.
You got to destroy some laser cannon. And there's right. One where you literally, there's a giant laser cannon. But if you drop in to like this little valley underneath it, all you do is stand up, attack it, then duck when it shoots, and then stand up and attack it, and it blows up.
Right.
I'm like, if you get hit by it, it hurts you. But I'm like, that's really bad.
Lame. But then the last two levels, there's no real depth to them, but I actually really enjoy them.
Oh, yeah.
And the last two levels, so the guys, as is the formula for the show, they call upon the Zords. And yeah. The Zords show up. You don't even get to play as the individual Zords at all. They just are instantly Megazord.
Yeah.
But then the last two levels are basically
I wish we would have got a level with it in tank mode at least.
Yeah, yeah. Or yeah. like a little bit of like left to right, like side scrolling beat 'em up as Megazord.
Yeah.
You know, like maybe they grow the putties and you get to fight them as Megazord or something. But yeah. Regardless, you get
or,
to do
or
these...
you grow the last five bosses.
Yeah, yeah.
You fight them through, like maybe make them a little easier than sure. You were. You put them down throughout the run and then you get to the final two bosses.
Like put the like make my minion grow or whatever the fuck yeah. It is you see
make
yell.
My monster grow,
that's what I it was and throw yeah. The wand yeah. So the last two fights you basically it's like it almost looks like Street Fighter or like a fighting game.
This is exactly what you got on the Genesis version. Like this is there was differences obviously
right
but this is the version like it was just this was the game
yeah
this is the entire game was you fight that's where the Genesis version was.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because it is cool. Controlling Megazord and fighting. Megazord, like, and I won't lie to you, like, when I'm playing those levels, I'm like, it feels like Megazord. He feels kind of big, kind of clumsy.
Yeah.
Because he always looked big and clumsy on the show.
You're just hacking with the sword.
Yeah, but it was, like, they were fun. And I actually really enjoyed those two levels a lot. And I think, like, I haven't looked at them in 20 plus years, but, like, I remember them looking pretty cool at the time.
Oh, yeah. And, like, it's Mutus for the level six. And then they bring in probably one of the coolest things I thought out of this first season. It was in what was supposed to be the finale, but it ended up being like episode 40 of 60. And that's how many episodes they did in season one of Power Rangers. Cyclopsis, which was Goldar Zord.
Right.
That was Goldar Zord, which to me was cool because it was like an evil Zord.
A nice little touch to the, you know, admittedly, and like we could go down this wormhole if we wanted to. Everybody loves Green Ranger.
Oh, yeah.
Admittedly, I think it would have been cool if you had to fight Dragon Zord and the Green Ranger at some point.
Yeah.
But, you know, they weren't going to put that much work into the
game. Yeah, I think you got that. You got Dragon Zord because he's in the fighting game. You got to fight Tommy and you got to fight the Dragon Zord. But once you beat them, You get use of them.
Oh,
you get to they.
See, why wasn't that in this
game? It's an unlockable.
Like just the Green Ranger and Dragon Zord would have made this game more fun.
Oh heck yeah!
I don't know why they worked there.
Yeah, I.
But you do these two boss fights or whatever you want to call them. The last two levels are just these two fights as Megazord, where he ends it the same way he used to end every episode with the fucking giant
the
swinging
final
the sword.
Slash or the camera. I think it was called Final Slash.
Yeah,
I think. Don't quote me on that, Andreas. My buddy Andreas might yell at me for that one because he's a bigger. Rangers nerd than me.
And then I want to say, and then I want to, I don't remember if you had to beat the game to get the code or not, but because this was before the internet, but I do remember my brother and I having a code or something you could put in or something where you could then play it two player and fight one as the bosses from 6 and 7 and one as Megazord and you could fight. But it was just those two things. And we played a couple times and be like, all right, well,
yeah. Cause then they would eventually release because the fighting edition came out on Genesis as the main, or was it Genesis or Mega Drive? I can't remember what it was.
Right.
As the main version. And then the fighting mode version of this game came out and it was just all the last two level versions.
Right.
It was over and over again. But you did earn the Green Ranger. You did earn the Dragon Zord doing that stuff though.
That's brutal.
Yeah.
So one of my criticisms, we've had a lot of criticisms of this game. But if I could change one thing about this game other than making it fun, it would be that there's no two player.
Yeah.
And that just seems like such a, like, a beat 'em ups are designed to play.
Done it. Double Dragon.
River City Ransom, Double Dragon, the Ninja Turtle games.
They'd already done two player. And to be able to play alongside when your friends are you with your brother.
Yeah.
And you can steal Jason and say, screw you.
Totally.
Zach, say, screw
like,
you.
Like the NES could handle two player beat 'em ups.
Yeah. So why couldn't the SNES at least design a two player version? Like, yes, I can understand getting to the final two levels. You can't. But then again, if you would have put the Green Ranger in, you could do two player in the final level because you could literally have Dragon Zord and Megazord fighting.
It always just bothered me. I was like, how is there not a two player mode?
Or if you could have two player, you could have had the Megazord and then just somehow have like the Tyrannosaurus there with them.
Right.
That could have been the second player's sprite.
There could have been a way.
Yeah.
They just, I don't know. You know what? At the end of the day, it seems like a dumbed down game for kids, but it also seems like a very half-assed
video
game.
And with a two player version, you could turn up the difficulty.
Right.
Like, you could say two-player version's harder.
Sure.
Simple as that, because there's two people.
And I'm not stupid, guys. Like, I mean, I've played a ton of video games. I'm fully aware that a majority of video games based around popular IP aren't very good.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I know you cash in on the IP, and I get that that's probably what this was.
Oh, very much
so. But this game is just so goddamn half-assed.
Like, I was watching, like I said, I watched some long play. Like, I skipped through a lot of it. And then I watched some on, like, they released a game about a year and a half later after the movie came out.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to play Power Rangers, want to play a Power Rangers game from SNES, play the Power Rangers as a movie game. It's much better. You get six Rangers out of it too, because you get the White Ranger in it too.
Ooh.
So yeah, play the movie version if you're going to play, if you want to play a Power Rangers game. Yeah. I'll say this 100%. It's a much more fun game.
I know that normally when
side scroller.
Right. I know normally when I sign off the show, I tell people like, hey, go find a way to play this game. You don't need to play this one.
Go find a way to play the movie version.
Yeah, go play the movie version. Just watch an episode or two of this on YouTube or something. Play the song a couple of times and you're like, I'm good. I got my fix.
And then the end of this game just annoys me because all it is, after they beat Cyclops, is like, you have to fight him twice. Like,
you fight him two times.
He goes from white version to, I swear to God, it's not even gold. It's like a bronze version.
Yeah. Yeah, he goes from silver to bronze and you have to fight him again.
It's like he's worse.
Yeah.
And then it's literally them just driving in a car.
That's right.
And then it morphs into the teen center and Zach and everybody's like around the juice bar and then Zach's out there just dancing.
Yeah, and Zach's dancing. That's right. I forgot about
that. That's literally the ending to this game. That's the credits. You just watch the credits as Zach dances.
What a stupid game.
Oh.
You could beat it in about half an hour if you wanted to.
Yeah, like the long play I watched a couple of different videos and one of the long plays I watched, dude went through without getting hit once.
Yeah.
And he did it in 45 minutes.
There you go. It's not a hard game. It's a boring game.
It's just
nostalgia.
The bosses can be beat very fast.
Yeah.
It's getting through the putties.
Yeah.
It's just because there's
just so monotonous.
And the levels legitimately get longer as each level goes on.
Yeah. And I remember playing as a kid and at points being like, fuck, let's go. Like
why aren't we to the boss yet?
It's like, why don't you turn the game off? No, because it's Power Rangers. Play the Power Rangers movie game or play one of the many, 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 many beat-em-ups that are on the Super Nintendo and Sega Genesis that are better. Turtles in Time. It was episode 2 of this podcast. Go back and check it out. I'd appreciate it. Andre, on a scale of 1 to 10, what would you give Mighty Morphin Power Rangers?
6.5.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah. Because it's still fun. Because it's still Power Rangers, but it's not a great game.
I give it a 4.
I think there's nostalgia built into this for me.
That's it.
That's why I give it the 6.5. Or if it wasn't for the nostalgia, I probably would be making it a lot worse.
I give it a 4. And if I didn't have nostalgia for it, it would get like a 2. Because it's just there's so many better versions of it on other consoles. I just love that Power Rangers theme song. With that said, it's probably playing again right now because I'm getting ready to end the podcast.
Yeah.
Dude, thank you so much for coming over, talking Power Rangers with me.
Always happy to.
That's nostalgia right there, yeah. Baby. Go Power Rangers. Billy's the best. Like, yeah, he's the best.
Zach.
That's going to do it for this week's episode. Andre, thank you so much for coming over and talking Power Rangers with me. And to all of you, thank you so much for listening. If you liked the show, please subscribe to us. Please throw us a good review on wherever it is you listen to your podcasts. Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/rememberthegame, facebook.com/rememberthegame, Instagram and Twitter at memberthegame. I try to follow everybody back. I've been trying to wade through all of the fucking garbage like business accounts on Instagram and just follow other people, including other podcasts. I've actually talked to a couple podcasts about maybe doing some crossover episodes, which I'm really excited about. So follow us on all those things. We'll try to follow back. I love interacting with people on there. If you liked the show, please leave us a good review somewhere. I don't know what it does, but I really, really appreciate it. And that's going to do her for this week's episode, you guys. I will be back in 7 days with episode 49 of the show. We have got some killer episodes lined up as we get into, I guess you would almost call it year two of the podcast, including episode 50, 2 weeks away. I'm very excited. I can't thank you all enough for supporting Remember the Game, and I will be back again in 7 days. Go play some video games, and go Power Rangers. Take it easy. Cheers.